Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
Episode 3, NYG Weekly. You know who it is, Ethan and Weiss. Josh Brown hit his wife, and Giants offensive line stinks. That is going to be the primary, focus of the show. Weiss, what's going on?
What's going on, man? How's it going? How's everything?
Everything's great. Let's get into it right away.
All right, let's do it.
All right, first up, since we've last spoken, Josh Brown. You can take it away on this one.
I think you and I both agree that, everyone agrees that domestic violence is a serious, serious thing. And regardless who the individual is, there has to be a zero tolerance toward it. But at the same time, it is a case-by-case thing because the severity of it depends on how each case is. With this case, you have Josh Brown, who's a 37-year-old kicker who had issues with his wife. We don't know how deep this goes, but there was, let's just look at it as this one instance for a second. He was arrested. The cops were called to his house. They thought that it was enough evidence to warrant an arrest, and they arrested Josh Brown for domestic violence. That right there should tell the Giants that, okay, this guy's not under contract. There's no need for us to re-sign him, knowing what we know. Now, given all the stuff that has come out past that, it's so mind-boggling to me that, you know, that they did so much for a kicker. Essentially, I mean, obviously, it's not your starting quarterback. It's not your star wide receiver. This is a 37-year-old kicker who was a free agent, and you chose to bring him back knowing what you know. And to me, it's just so un-Giants-like that I am just mind-boggled of it, and I don't understand it. I don't understand why he's still on the team, let alone given a contract extension. So, I mean, what is your thoughts on it? Because I'm just confused at this whole situation. I don't see how this guy's on this should be on this team.
I think we have very similar thoughts. I think, you know, obviously you got to take it on a case by case basis. Now we're finding out that in 2014 that he had called the cops on her for kicking him in the ribs. She's reporting that there were over 20 counts of him acting violently towards her. Obviously, if you look at it as a big picture, not a great marriage. Now, you hit the nail right on the head, and as terrible as it sounds to say out loud, this isn't Eli Manning. This isn't Odell Beckham. You're defending a kicker who you chose to bring back, and granted, he was great last year, but it's a position that you can fill. There are plenty of guys out there, both young and veterans, who would kill to have an opportunity to play in the NFL and kick. There are plenty of free agents. You know, the Giants had one guy in camp. Now they signed Randy Bullock. It makes no sense to me that an organization that prides itself on being, you know, one of the classics and one of the greats and a no-nonsense organization, especially for Ben McAdoo, who comes out and says that he has a zero-tolerance policy towards domestic violence, why go through all the trouble to bring back your kicker? It just makes no sense to me. Now you have this headache. Now Ben McAdoo's being criticized for his comments. But at the same time, and I tend to take a more wait-and-see approach when it comes to the domestic violence situations. Obviously, we saw what happened with Ezekiel Elliott earlier in the offseason because you never know. Sometimes people lie. Sometimes there are details we don't know. I was very on board the get rid of Josh Gordon. It's not worth the headache. And while I still kind of am, it makes you think that not only the organization supported him, but other players came out and supported him. And part of me also thinks that there is now a lot that we don't know about the situation. And quite frankly, I don't know if we're ever going to find out outside of letting Randy Bullock battle for the kicking job.
Well, I think a lot of the outcry, specifically from outside of the organization and the fan base, is because of the suspension. But even outside of the suspension, I mean, people say, well, the charges were dropped the next day. People really, like, it really irritates me when I see people that, well, he got arrested, but the charges were dropped. Like, when it comes to domestic violence, I think people should take time to understand what domestic violence is. It's not just I beat up a woman or a woman beats up a man. It's not just Ray Rice's situation. It's not just Greg Hardy's situation. So in this case, you have we know that the incident where he was arrested was over finances. Now, let's put it together here. Josh Brown is a professional kicker in the NFL, making a good amount of money for himself and supporting his family. And clearly, when they said, she didn't talk to the NFL or she didn't cooperate with the NFL, well, yes, because Josh Brown is the financial supporter of the family. There, it's more deeper than what people just outline it to be. I mean, it's something that people really need to understand. So back to the actual situation is, the Giants bringing him back tells me that either, like you said, they don't think that there's more to this that we don't know, and the support that they have for him, because it's un-Giants like to, you know, support something like this. They didn't draft a tackle because of a video that appeared 2 hours prior to the draft. There's no way that they would have brought in a domestic abuser, let alone a domestic abuser that's a kicker. So maybe it could be something bigger than this, and there was, you know, who knows. But my thing is that I just don't see it being worth it. And if there needs to be a zero, for an organization that really has a zero tolerance policy on a lot of things, it's crazy to me that they brought him back. So I don't think he should be on the team. I think they should cut him. And I think the longer they go without addressing the situation, and here's another thing. A lot of people are pointing the finger at Ben McAdoo. How can you support him? Well, Ben McAdoo wasn't the head coach when this situation happened. A lot of people say Jerry Reese, for obviously the general manager giving him the contract. Yes, that he needs to, you know, come to the forefront. But it all goes to the top, and that's John Mara. John Mara signed off on this, so he needs to talk about it. And I think that the longer that this goes without Mara and Reese and even Tish addressing this, I mean, the more people are kind of like, you know, what the hell? What's going on?
It makes no sense to me. I mean, to take this point even further, if this is an incident that happened in 2015 and obviously the team knew about it and obviously the NFL knew about it and he's already serving the one-game suspension, there isn't an investigation going on within the NFL or the organization. Why not just come out and let everyone know the situation instead of letting it linger 2 weeks before the season starts?
And here's one thing, and this is one thing I realized in this whole Josh Brown case. Josh Brown was arrested for domestic violence over a year ago, and we didn't, in this day and age of social media, we didn't hear about anything, and we know how much stuff gets leaked from the NFL.
Yeah,
we know that. So it's almost like, did the NFL go out of its way to kind of keep this hidden, or was it? I mean, like, it's crazy to me because we hear about stuff that gets leaked from the NFL all the time. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff gets leaked from the NFL, and for this to go hidden for so long up until they announce a suspension is pretty crazy to me. I mean, I don't understand it. So
I mean, listen, it wouldn't be the first time they successfully covered something up. If you remember, like 2 years ago, there was a video of Dez allegedly doing something awful, and we were supposed to get a video of it, and all of a sudden it just disappeared. So, yeah,
but this was an arrest.
Right.
I mean, you know, like, this was an arrest. This was something that was, you know, it was a police report, and none of it got out. It's just crazy to me how, out of nowhere, we see Josh Brown suspended for a game, and next thing we know, it's all this stuff coming out. So, in short, I mean, I don't think he deserves to be on the roster. I think it's just something that the Giants don't need. It's not a good look on their part to do this. You have to cut ties.
Absolutely. They've got enough problems between Josh Brown, the offensive line, and Victor Cruz. They don't need this headache. Cut him, move on. Yeah. All right.
I guess we both agree on that.
We do. Because there's a lot we don't agree on coming up. But before we get to the offensive line, let's just do general preseason game number two thoughts. We're halfway there. I'll let you start this one because I was only able to watch the first half of the game. But a lot of my opinion from the first game hasn't changed except for a bit more criticism of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, offense struggled, specifically the offensive line, specifically the blocking from the offensive line and the tight ends. Really didn't give enough time for the offense to generate anything. Outside of the first couple plays where they were able to move the football down the field, it really was, and this is talking about just the first team offense with Eli Manning and Beckham and Shepard, we really didn't get to see a lot just because there was no they weren't able to generate any pass protection for Eli Manning. So run blocking was atrocious. It wasn't what I thought it would be. It was pretty bad. But the positives from it, because I like to stay positive, is it's only the second preseason game. You want to see stuff like this now. Hopefully they can work on it before the September 11th opener. The defense, I mean, it's still, you know, that defensive line, you still saw him be able to get pressure on the quarterback. Olivier Vernon had a sack. I saw Jason Pierre-Paul in the backfield a couple times. Darian Thompson, you know, who's coming along. Obviously, the injury is hurts, but you know, he's expected to be ready for the opener. So all in all, I mean, obviously the biggest takeaway from the second preseason game was the struggles of the offensive line. Look, I mean, it's only the second preseason game. I think we just need to take a deep breath and exhale and understand that it is only the second preseason game. So let's wait and see the third preseason game, where that's what they call the dress rehearsal for the season, before we kind of hit that panic button. So I'll let you chime in on what your thoughts were.
All right. Well, I am going to hit the panic button, but I'm not going to do it just yet. The defense looked great. You brought up Jason Pierre-Paul. You brought up Olivier Vernon. The defensive line looks awesome. No complaints there. You mentioned Darian Thompson also. Looked really good. Unfortunately, he's injured. I would be a little concerned. You know, you have a rookie who's pegged as the starter basically right away because of the lack of depth at the safety position. You know, tout Nat Burhey all you want. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, and we really don't know what he's got. And the fact that a third rounder this year was basically immediately guaranteed the starting free safety position is now out. He's going to be missing two weeks of valuable reps in both practice and preseason. That's worrisome. In addition to that, Jonathan Casillas continues to impress me.
Yes.
Not only with his positioning, but his speed. Incredible. Yeah. Putting to bed some of my linebacker concerns. Although, you know, coverage on some versatile tight ends, like we saw with Charles Clay, or on, you know, someone in the division like Jordan Reed, is going to prove to be more difficult. But still very impressed with the linebackers. Do you have anything to add before I chime in on the offense?
On the play with the linebacker, obviously we saw Janoris kind of whiff on that,
right,
and
yeah,
miss the sack. But I give credit to Keenan Robinson. He was able to stay, not obviously with Charles Clay, but he was able to make the tackle and not allow it to be a touchdown. So he was with them for the most part. I mean, obviously it should have been a sack, but and they still were able to get that long game. But again, the linebackers, I'm still a little shaky on it. I kind of wish they would have a starting middle linebacker by now determined, but they don't. So I'm still kind of worried about that. But other than that, I mean, the defense is not as much of a doesn't make me nervous as much as the offense does. And you can go ahead and talk about the offense.
I mean, one other person I wanted to compliment on the defensive side of the ball, Landon Collins.
Oh, man.
Finally, as I've been clamoring for since the first half of last season, finally taking on the Deion Buchanan role in this defense.
Yes.
Strong safety, kind of an understatement, more of a strong safety linebacker hybrid, like what I'm seeing out of him. And despite Darian Thompson's injury, I hope they keep him there. and let him use his strength to his advantage, which is his size and his ability to play against the run.
Yeah, I mean, he played, I don't even think more than, under 30, 40 snaps, and he had like 7 tackles.
He was everywhere.
I mean, he was all over the place. He's going to be a great, great player. He's a football player.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about him. He's a football player. Whether he plays up at the line or he's a little further back, I mean, he's a football player. When you got a guy like that on your defense, I mean, that guy makes your defense better. I like Landon Collins a lot, especially when he's, like you said, playing that Deion Buchanan role.
Absolutely. All right, now for the offense. Oh, boy, where do I start? Eli Manning in for 4 series, accumulated 44 yards, 2 first downs, and 0 points. Not a good look, especially considering Ben McAdoo left the first team offense in even longer than he wanted to in the second preseason game, specifically because they couldn't get anything generated. And before people start praising the Bills defense, this is a Bills defense that was top 5 in the league in 2014 until Rex Ryan came in and ruined them, and they were 31st ranked in sacks and pressures last year. So let's not get all crazy about praising the defense. Rob Ryan is the defensive coordinator. We saw the dumpster fire defenses he ran in both Dallas and New Orleans. So let's not chalk it up to the Bills defense being all that special. Eric Flowers stinks. Marshall Outhouse, running with that nickname, stinks. And John Jerry cannot run block. Now, these are all things that we knew going into the 2016 season, yet Jerry Reese really didn't address them. Now, I know you have some issue with this, but I'm going to take aim at the Eric Flowers situation first. Never supposed to be the starting left tackle immediately. He was thrust into that role last year once Will Beattie tore his pec. He did an awful job last year, such an awful job, as a matter of fact, that he should not have been guaranteed the job going into camp. Yet, he was, as we saw by Jerry Reese bringing in these free agent career left tackles, Donald Penn, Russell Okung, who both refused to sign with the Giants after hearing that they would be forced to play the right side of the line, something that they hadn't really done in their career. It makes no sense that you wouldn't at least try to create some competition for someone who had such an abysmal rookie season and has shown zero signs of improvement, and then leaving Marshall Outhouse on the other side of the line. Now, we know that Marshall Newhouse and John Jerry weren't going to have some sort of revelation in the offseason and all of a sudden become these incredible pass and run blockers, but to see zero improvement out of Eric Flowers is especially disappointing when you look at the fact that people like Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg worked so hard this offseason, and you really didn't hear that much out of the Eric Flowers camp. Let you start. Off to you. Rant over.
All right, so let's rewind a little bit. So I think we both agree that Eric Flowers hasn't really shown any improvement this preseason so far. Number two, question, did Jerry Reese ignore the offensive line position, or did he not, what did you say, do anything about it? Did he ignore it?
Well, they were bad. I would consider it ignore, because he brought in these two career left tackles under the sole assumption that they would be playing right tackle, instead of saying, hey, why don't you battle it out with the rookie and whoever's better gets to play left tackle, and then we'll shift Flowers over to the right side. Because if we're looking at the offensive line, it's literally no different than last year, and they were bad last year.
It definitely does look the same, especially the tackles. But here's the thing. Eric Flowers, regardless what our opinion of Eric Flowers is, regardless what we think of picking him number 9 overall, the Giants picked Eric Flowers number 9 overall. The Giants' plan for Eric Flowers was, we play him at right tackle, we have Will Beattie. Obviously, Will Beattie is over the age of 30. We don't know how much longer he can go, but we expect the transition from Will Beattie to Eric Flowers eventually. Obviously, that situation got derailed when Will Beattie tore his pec last year. In comes Flowers. This is rookie, raw talent that has to play left tackle. And I always say, the thing about rookie left tackles is that you rarely see a tackle come in that you think is going to be your future left tackle, and he comes in and he's great. There's no problems. There's going to be issues. Now, I'm not sitting here making an excuse for Ereck Flowers' struggles. I'm just saying it was expected that he wasn't, that he was going to struggle. Even the great left tackles, especially look in the NFCs where you got Tyron Smith and Trent Williams, they both started on the right side. Tyron Smith's whole rookie year was on the right side. So back to Flowers. Rookie year, I think we all expected him to somewhat struggle. Obviously, he struggled more than we thought. But the point remains that the Giants use a number 9 pick on him. Going into this offseason, the plan was continuing to develop Flowers. Now, if your argument is, you know, it was a stubbornness of not allowing competition, then I tell you, let's say they move Flowers to right tackle and sign a Russell Okung, a Donald Penn, Eugene Monroe. What happens if Okung gets hurt?
Then you move. Then we're back at square one where we are right now. And none of Okung's salary for the next 5 years is guaranteed. Where is he? In Denver? So yeah. It's, you know.
100% agree. They're good financially if Okung gets hurt. There's no guaranteed dollars. But now you're moving Flowers back from right tackle to left tackle. Then it comes into play that now you're his development and you're not really working on his development. See, when they put him at left tackle, he's your left tackle. You have to develop him. Now, if there's one concerning thing to me about Flowers, is he being too stubborn when it comes to learning the technique. Now, I know there were issues with him and Flaherty, the old offensive line coach, last year. In comes Mike Solari, who I think is one of the five best offensive line coaches in the NFL. I can probably think of one more guy that I would take over him. But anyways, I trust Solari to be able to fix Flowers. Now, if Flowers is being too stubborn and isn't able to correct these things, then that I agree with you, I'm worried about it. But you can't just move him back and forth, especially a raw talent like this, and just expect his development to be good, because this is not just about this year. This is going forward. This is your franchise left tackle that you drafted number 9 overall.
So if you have a guy who had all of this offseason, he had OTAs, he had training camp, he had 2 preseason games, has shown 0 signs of improvement. You said it yourself. Tyron Smith spent his entire rookie season on the right side of the offensive line. I'm no coach, but there's obviously similarities between the positions. I don't see why moving him back over to the left side if Russell Okung gets injured is that big of a deal.
Well, again, you say moving him back. If you move him back, then you're messing up his development when it comes to what you expect from him. See, going from left tackle to right tackle isn't just switching sides. There's different footwork. There's different technique. And Ereck Flowers doesn't have a lot of history playing the right tackle position.
Doesn't look like he's got a lot of, you know, history playing the left side either.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, okay, so let's agree that Flowers was a reach at 9, right? We can agree on that?
Absolutely.
Right? Was he going to be a first-round pick?
Yeah.
So, you know, he has experience playing the left tackle position. And I it's the second preseason game. I think that if you tell me that they didn't do enough, then I'll agree with you. Yes, they didn't do enough. I still think that they should have done more, especially on Donald Penn. I think he was that aging veteran. I think that if they would have thrown some more money at him, he would have been okay playing right tackle for them. My thing is that that's your point and you're sticking to Flowers being your left tackle, then you have to develop him. Now, like I said, where I get worried about it is this guy just not getting it? Because he has the ability, he has the physique, and he has the talent, as everyone says, and the potential, as everyone says. But if he's not getting it, then that's a problem, you know. And I kind of get worried when I hear about, you know, stuff that he had issues with the old offensive line coach. So, in terms of, I don't agree with you where I think moving him to the right side is better for him. I think you have to keep him there and let him learn the position.
Well, let's be clear. I don't think that they should move him to the right side, because what are you going to do? Have Marshall Newhouse play the left side? Absolutely not. I say they should have moved him to the right side under the assumption that one of these veterans was going to come in and play left tackle. And to further that point real quick, who is he learning from on the roster right now? Marshall Newhouse? The coach? I mean, bringing in Russell Okung or Donald Penn is going to help his development.
It is, but the thing with Okung is Okung has a history of injury, and you have to understand that Seattle, whose offensive line is in a was in a worse position than ours, didn't re-sign Okung. So, you know, you can't just be, I got the money, I'm going to be reckless with it. There's a price you set on it, and, you know.
But none of it's guaranteed, especially for
Okung. There's no guarantee that he would have taken that same exact contract from the Giants. We can't just say, well, look at that contract, he would have taken it from the Giants. We don't know that. You know,
you bring a valid point. I don't see why not, considering, you know, he was in the Giants or he was visiting the Giants before the Broncos.
Like, I can't say that same contract Russell Okung would have took from the Giants. Although I think it's an outrageous contract, and I don't know why he would accept something like that.
He's betting on himself.
I don't see that them doing that. I don't understand why he would accept something like that, and I can't say that he would have accepted it if the Giants had offered him the same exact thing.
All right, let's move on.
I don't want to make it seem like that I'm defending Eric Flowers. Look, I'm worried about Eric Flowers because absolutely. The stubbornness. There has to be, if he's not getting it from two offensive line coaches, then Flaherty wasn't the issue. The former offensive line coach, maybe it was Flowers' stubbornness. So I'm really going to be watching him closely in that third preseason game. I mean, I think we're all hoping that this guy can get it together. We're not expecting him to be an all-pro left tackle in his second year. Obviously, we're still going to expect some struggles. But there has to be much improvement from year one to year two. And I think that's something to watch closely. But I agree with you. I'm a little worried about Flowers. And originally, it was the whole, like, they ignored the offensive line. I said I kind of disagree with you on that. But the stubbornness of not moving Flowers to the right side, there's pros and cons to both of that. And you made valid points, but I wouldn't just move him to the right side and forget about him, but kind of derail his development there.
And listen, there's combinations outside of the current makeup of the line that I think I would prefer, but some of them involve moving Flowers out of a tackle spot, which I'm just not going to do at this point because you might as well let him sink or swim.
Exactly.
All right, let's get to some questions.
But also, before we move on, I think the tight ends, we talked about this on our last thing.
Yeah, we should talk about the tight ends.
They didn't do a good job blocking either.
But we knew this, too. I mean, they're horrendous. Larry Donnell's never been able to block. Will Tye's too small.
It's terrible. I told you, I think Will Johnson is their best, most complete tight end when it comes to blocking and being able to catch passes and run routes. I still stand by that, man. It's not just Larry Donnell. A lot of people say Larry Donnell. Will Tye whiffed on a lot of blocks too, so it's both of them.
It's tough when you're 6'2".
Larry Donnell, my goodness.
He should be ashamed of himself. All right. Questions. Let's do questions. We answered a lot of these already, but I feel like we should at least give people shout-outs for sending in their questions and listening, because we appreciate it. Matt Evans, Josh Brown, should he remain a New York Giant? We both agreed he should not.
No, he shouldn't. And I don't think he will. I think if you look at the contract that they gave Randy Bullock, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Randy Bullock.
I think he has a legit shot of winning the job. He won't be just handed the job.
Right.
He's going to have to win it. And I think if he's able to make kicks, I think Josh Brown's gonna be gone.
Agree. Next one, James Castaldi. How did Eric Flowers get worse? I have no idea.
I don't
know what he's doing with his father. His father trains him.
Well, I saw that too. So a lot of people sent me this. First of all, my DMs are open, so anybody can send me anything they want. I don't want to put names out there, but somebody sent me a DM that Flowers chose not to train with Pugh in Richburg and went to go train with his father. I mean, I didn't hear anything about it, but
that's I don't want to say it's a straight fact, because I'd like to hear it from the horse's mouth, because I don't know if he refused to train with Pugh and Richburg. I do know that Pugh and Richburg tried to organize workouts with the other offensive linemen. I believe they included John Jerry this year, but I know for a fact that Flowers, before his rookie season, was training with his dad, because him and his dad have a bond, because, as you know, his mother passed away when he was a kid, so him and his dad have kind of been just the two of them. But at the same time, if that is the case, you're a professional athlete, you should be training with your teammates.
I mean, obviously, and that goes back to my thing about the stubbornness. Obviously, I don't want to comment on who he decides to train with, but,
right,
you know, you have to be able, when you struggle like he did, you're going to have to try to do different things, per se. I'm not trying to sit here and tell Eric Flowers what he should do on his own time when it comes to training in the off season, but I think that, you know, it goes back to that stubbornness. Is he just not too stubborn to understand? But, I mean, again, it's still, we're not into year two yet. And I know people want to worry, and I don't think he got worse. I think he's still the same. There's still the same inconsistencies. So let's just take a wait and see approach. I'm anxious to see him in this third preseason game.
Me too. All right. At NY Basketball Now, come on, bro, it's football. Do you see the Giants having a Pro Bowl capable linebacker on their team? I personally do not, although I do think that we are slightly underestimating this group going into the regular season.
Yeah, I don't see a Pro Bowl. I mean, the thing about the Pro Bowl is it has to be a name.
Yeah.
Type play. They don't have that name.
No one flashy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Kennard is going to have a good year if he stays healthy. That might be your closest thing, but he's going to have to blow it out of the water to even be considered a Pro Bowler. But
I agree, especially because the other guys are more of the journeyman type.
Yeah, exactly. And B.J. Goodson is a rookie, so I don't see it.
All right, Nick_6. I love me some Oa, but I don't know if he's ready to be the number three pass rusher. Expectations for him and potential other backup rushers.
Man, I am so excited to watch Oa, man.
Yeah, me too.
He is going to be a great, great player in this league. Coming out, there was talks of him kind of not being having that pass rushing ability. He's more of a guy that plays the run, but man, he can get to the quarterback. He has strength. I saw him push guards back. I mean, this guy's gonna be fun to watch. He's gonna be a lot of fun. He's really got a lot of potential.
The thing with him. No, it's totally cool. He reminds me of Justin Tuck, where he can play inside very well, so they can kick him inside for the NASCAR package.
Man, I wish I could. I'm gonna find that clip. And I'm going to show you guys. There was one play where I saw him just push. Yeah. I don't know his offensive lineman's name, but he pushed him right back. And Tyrod had to kind of scoop back and get rid of the ball. But I'm going to find that clip for you guys.
All right. At Takuma Rowe, could the Giants give up on Flowers as a left tackle and move him to right tackle while letting Pugh take over the left tackle spot? No. Because that means Marshall Newhouse is playing guard. And I think the only thing worse than Marshall Newhouse playing tackle is Marshall Newhouse playing guard.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make... Justin Pugh is a perennial... Justin Pugh's a top 10 guard. I don't know what he'll look like at left tackle. So,
well, he did play some left tackle
last year against the Redskins, yes.
He looked decent.
He was decent, but...
He's also played some... He's the David Deal of our generation.
Yes. I can see that, but yeah. He's not a permanent left tackle.
No, not at all.
Listen, I told you guys, the thing about Flowers is they use the top 10 pick on him. They have to continue the development. If they give up on him this early, then I would be critical of the general manager and the coaching staff giving up on a top 10 pick just like that. You have to continue to develop this guy. You use the top 10 pick on him.
The only other combination that I could see, but I obviously don't think they would do, is a straight up swap of Pugh and Flowers, because Flowers does excel in run blocking, and I've always said I could picture him being a dominant guard. So, you know, watching him pull and then run to the right side to improve the running to the right side, because I know the Giants ran mostly to the left last year. And running to the right is something they've experimented a lot with this preseason. Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen, but that is the only viable switch I could see on the line.
I'm going to tell you a story about Flowers, and then we'll move on. All right.
Let's hear it.
I didn't share this with anybody yet, so I'll share with you guys first. All right. Flowers, the struggle, and then coming into this year, I had reached out to Mark Domnick. I don't know if you guys know him. He works for ESPN. I think he was a former front office guy. And I asked him about specifically about Flowers, and we talked about a lot of things, but this was through DMs, Twitter DMs. I kind of slid into his DMs.
Oh, yeah.
So talked about it, and he said that you have to – obviously, the biggest flaw was the pass protection with Flowers and the technique and all that, and he was a raw talent, good run blocker, like you said. He said what they have to do with Flowers, and this is the kind of the stance that I've taken too, based on what he's told me, is you have to trust your development of a guy. And he mentioned Mike Solari as the guy that can do it. You have to trust your development of the guy, and he has to buy into it. So that's why I'm not – that's why I say when people say you have to bench Eric Flowers. Well, okay, bench Eric Flowers for who? Who are you going to bring in? Byron Stingley? What are you going to do? You're going to move Marshall Newhouse to left tackle? You want to move him inside to guard and move Pugh outside? There's no guarantee for that to work. You have to. You can't just do that quickly. And people have their theories and whatnot, but I'm sticking to you have to develop Eric Flowers. So Mark Domnick said basically the same thing what I'm repeating to you guys is it's a process when you develop these left tackles. It's not an easy position to learn. So best thing for him is he mentioned going up against Vernon and Pierre Paul in training camp is going to help him a lot. So just pump the brakes a little bit.
All right. Last two are very similar questions, so I'm just going to read both of them. Old Dirty Beckham asks, if Giants can't make a trade to replace Newhouse, should they look at Beedy? And at K Forcini asks, if the Giants O-line continues to struggle, do the Giants try to make a last-minute change to it? I don't think that they look to Beedy, but obviously the line looks bad. I think Jerry Reese is keeping his eye out on other training camps and the waiver wire, and I think that they'll obviously try to make an addition later on.
I think so too. I think although right now it seems kind of unlikely, but there's still that Anthony Bam Davis from San Francisco still going around. You might say that the relationship is fine between him and the 49ers, but I'm sure if the Giants make an offer, you know, they could potentially go to the negotiations table on that. Beedy, I mean, you just don't know how. Beedy's situation is so weird to me because you don't know what happened. Because yeah. I mentioned this. They asked Victor Cruz to take a pay cut. Victor Cruz took a pay cut. They never asked Will Beedy to take a pay cut.
That makes no sense to me because aside from one season, Will Beedy was a really, really good left tackle.
He was. And so that's what makes me think that, like, what happened between them? Was it something with his injury? Was he not cooperating in the rehab? What was going on between – because we never heard anything in the general public with Will right. Beedy. So it's weird to me. And I'm going to defend the Giants again on this. That when it comes to their own players, they treat their players really well. So I don't know if something happened between them and Will Beedy where they just said, we don't want you anymore. But it's strange to me. And the more I think about it, the more I just don't see him being an option anymore. But never say never, I guess.
Yeah, all right. That's it for the questions. That's it for the show. Guys, thanks for listening. Once again, I am praying that this is on iTunes. If it is, when I tweet this out, I'll have the subscription link. Please, please, please subscribe. It goes directly to your phones. If you don't have an iPhone, you can still listen on Twitter and on the internet, and it's probably a mobile app for the service that we're using. So keep a lookout for that. And I guess that's it. We'll speak to you next week.
Can I say one thing before we
Absolutely.
Go?
Absolutely.
Josh Norman, for the love of God, listen to this podcast, please stop talking about
You are obsessed with my receiver, Josh.
It is unbelievable. This guy talks about him nonstop. Then you know what the funny thing about Josh Norman is before we go? Josh Norman says, I'm done talking about Odell Beckham.
And then talks about him.
And then talks about Odell Beckham. It's like,
you know why? You know why? He's actually the perfect Redskins cornerback because he knows the only time he's going to be able to do shit-talking is in the offseason, despite the fact that he's been burnt by Demaryius Thomas, ESPN, a number of other outlets, will get burnt by Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham consecutive weeks in a row.
Josh
so, you know
Norman,
what? Let him get his licks in now because after the season starts, he is barbecue chicken.
Here's the thing. Josh Norman knows in his mind and in his heart, and his teammates know that he can't cover the elite receivers in this game.
Can't even cover DeSean Jackson.
He can't. So he's putting this pressure on him. It's putting the pressure on the team. If he falls flat on his face, get ready for the people to come after him. God, because they're gonna go after him like there's no tomorrow. Because when Nnamdi signed that big deal, he wasn't talking. But when he struggled, Nnamdi struggled, people went after him. Remember they used to call Victor Cruz the Nnamdi killer?
Yeah.
So listen, just sit back.
I've been calling Nnamdi 2.0.
Yeah, sit back, grab your popcorn, and just get ready for this show. Get ready for this ride of Josh Norman. I guarantee you by week four, remember this, by week four, Redskins fans would have turned on Josh Norman. I guarantee it.
Guaranteed. All right. That's it. Josh Norman, peace out. Everyone else, we'll speak to you next week.
Peace.